and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. I'm Bruce Edwards. In this program, how failing health can be costly to people and to the economy at large.
But if I can say one good thing, that since in our study we look how the labor market cost of this disease evolves over time, we can see for many of these disorders that diminish the most people's kind of strength and ability to work are also the one for which we also see very large reduction in severity across time.
Being diagnosed with a serious illness is a shock to the system, and treatment and recovery can mean major disruptions in a person's life. But illness also takes millions of people out of the labor force every year, and the quality of the care they receive can determine the extent to which this is a shock to the economy. Nicola Piri and his co-authors just published a research paper on the economic impact of healthcare quality.
And Nicola Piri, and I'm an economist in the research department in macrofinancial division, and just started at IMF in September 2018. So.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Enjoying it a lot so far. So
how much do people spend on healthcare generally? And do you see a big difference between countries or regions?
Well, they spend a lot. In the average OECD country, around 9% of GDP is spent on healthcare, although there is quite a sizable variation between countries, and especially USA is kind of an outlier, since in USA spend around 17% of their GDP.
So in the US, it's almost double, is it?
It's almost double than the average of OECD countries. And while I don't know about variation within countries for most of countries, there is indeed a sizable literature studying variation both in healthcare spending and healthcare utilization within the US. Mm-hmm. And this literature, well, of course, I don't want to butcher a large literature in a few words, but it does find large variations. Just to give an idea, even controlling for local demographics, sex, gender, age, still there is at least a ratio of two between places that are low spenders and high spenders. And the same for utilization of certain medical practice. And also it's interesting that very often the places where there is more spending or like more intense utilization, there is kind of a low correlation between these measures and health outcomes.
Hmm. From an economist's point of view, what makes a good or a bad hospital or health system, for that matter?
That's it. Well, as an economist, what we want usually is to have like good services and spending little. Now, the problem, the most challenging part, it is difficult to measure what is the quality of a service, as long as we cannot directly measure health of people, in the sense that like, okay, the economic literature, but also like policy work, usually focus on things like mortality rates and say, you know, a good hospital, of course, in a hospital that for a given set of condition, you see few people dying. And that's of course, important. But of course, mortality rates are informative only for like very severe cases and only for certain disease for which people actually die in the short term. There is also policy action that focus on readmission rates, for instance, the ACA in the US.
So readmission being, people get better and then they come back to the hospital.
Yes, the idea that at least for some disease, if you get out of an hospital and then you go back to the same hospital or another hospital within a few months, then probably something went wrong with your first hospitalization. And actually part of the ACA, the part focusing on quality, is measuring quality, looking at these readmission rates and trying to kind of push hospitals that have high readmission rates to get closer to the median.
So in these the traditional measurements of mortality rates, readmission rates, what did you see that prompted you to look at this issue from a labor market perspective?
That's it. I think there are two main reasons. One is that if you cannot work, if like your health condition make more difficult for you to find a job, or you make you less productive while you're working, or make you skip more days of work, then that has two costs for yourself. One is the fact itself that you're losing money and you're not able to maybe to accumulate human capital or to work. The other is that given that when we see people not working or working less, we can kind of infer that these people are having some kind of troubles or some kind of physical or mental pain that is a bit difficult to capture, at least in large scale, with traditional measure, with traditional data. And like a way to see our project is that since there exists in many countries large amount of data on earnings and labor market outcomes in general, usually collected by tax agency, then we can kind of bring this huge amount of data on the table to help us get information about the underlying health status of individuals, which is something that is intrinsically difficult to measure. And the better we can measure people's health, the more we are able to understand how sizable it is the reduction in health after an hospital admission. And so closer we get to the idea that good healthcare is about mitigating the negative impact of illness on disease on one's health status.
And what kind of data did you have available for this research?
So like we linked together two sources of data. One is the universe of hospital discharge data in Denmark for almost 20 years. So everybody that has been in a Danish hospital, we can see when she was hospitalized, for which reason, what were the main diagnoses and comorbidities, and things like that. Together with this administrative data that contains information on people on Danes' earnings, wealth, education, socioeconomic status, location of residence. Of course, we access all this data thanks to a collaboration with the Danish Statistical Institute that I started during my graduate studies, together with my co-author Annalena and Adelina that I thank because they've been really great co-authors. But of course, it's important to say we everything is anonymized. So of course, we cannot figure out who is any person in our data set. It's important for the people that listen to understand that privacy is very well preserved. And our idea was to use the interaction of these two data sets to first measure precisely how much health, how much income, how much labor earnings decrease after an hospital admission, and in particular to try to understand how this depends on which hospital people are admitted to, and how does it depend on which point in time these people are admitted to. Because we want to understand, first of all, which are the good hospitals, which one are the bad hospitals. So we introduce a new measure of heterogeneity in hospital quality. On the other side, we want to understand what has been the evolution over time of healthcare and how much the improvement, the development of healthcare has helped mitigating this negative effect of health shocks.
So what was the time span of this data that you had available?
Hospital admission go between 98 and 2012, but we have a few years before and after because we want to measure also like the earnings before and after 3 years. So we have also 3 years of data on each side.
Mm. So better healthcare means people get better quicker and they get back to work faster, and that seems a pretty obvious economic benefit. But how big a factor is healthcare in the economy?
Let's say that in general, the links between economic development and health are several, and the most obvious one is, of course, when a country becomes richer, people can eat better, can have like access to healthcare is widened, and so people are healthier. But also there is effects that go in the other way, that is, people that are healthier are also more productive, they have like, and they can accumulate more human capital, then can study more. And we actually also like go a bit farther in the sense, our papers show that the quality of healthcare matters for this economic cost, and in particular kind of relatively low quality hospital lead to extra cost for the whole economy because workers earn less, as we show, because the government has to provide more transfer to these people because maybe they lose their job, they go in disability, they retire earlier. That is another thing that we show. And on top of that, there are probably also effects on firms' productivity, although not having firms' data in this study, we do not show it directly, but it's obvious that that's also the case.
So how does this measurement work? I mean, how do you put a value on the quality of services that people are receiving between hospitals?
What do? We compare people. Thanks to this amazing data, we're able to compare people that are very similar, that they're the same education, they're in the same money, they're hospitalized for the same problem, have same comorbidities, but are admitted to different hospitals.
I see.
And so, and then we see how their earnings evolves over time. So how much they earn in the 3 years after the hospital admission with respect to the earnings they had in the 3 years before the hospital admission. And the larger is this drop, the lower quality we perceive this hospital to be. Because the larger is the drop, the larger we think this health shock has been severe for the patient. And so the smaller is the drop, the more we infer the quality of care that the person received to be, because it kind of mitigated the effect of this shock.
So what is it about this data in Denmark? I mean, what makes it special? Or is it simply because you just had access to it?
It's both. In the sense, Denmark is interesting in itself, especially Danish hospital system is interesting because has undergone a pretty important reorganization in the mid-2000s. Many hospitals have been shut down, some hospitals have been merged, and we see in our data the number of hospitals in the country going down. But what for us was more important, since we wanted to propose this new measure, then we wanted to do in a place where we know that it was feasible. And since there was, we read a paper by Faldon and Nielsen that study how the effect of heart attacks of a person on the spouse labor supply, to see whether when your partner has a health shock, what happened to you, whether you work more or less. And so they were using the same type of data, and so we know that that was feasible.
So obviously, for a lot of services, especially the public in the public domain, we struggle a lot with quality versus affordability, and people go to cheaper hospitals to save money or simply can't afford to go to the high quality hospitals. And given what your study is showing, do you think that governments should invest more in better hospitals?
That's a very interesting question. For sure, we do show that there exists sizable gain in improving the quality of healthcare. Our study is a bit silent on the cost. So we don't know how much does it cost to go from a low quality to a high quality hospital. And that's especially because given the type of healthcare system that we are studying, the way that hospitals are reimbursed is kind of very even across the country. So probably difference in access to funds, I suspect, are very minimal in Denmark versus other countries. But it would be very exciting to see this measure being applied to countries where there is more heterogeneity on the financial side, such as the US, and see how much kind of changing the reimbursement scheme of just the amount of money they go to hospital, how this would be reflected in loss of earnings for patients or transfer for the government.
So how do you see this research, this novel measurement of the quality of a healthcare system, how do you think this can be applied?
That's interesting. Let's say that, first of all, one thing that we find is very interesting at least the thing that for which I'm a bit proud of is that our measure can be applied to a very wide range of disease. Well, for instance, if you think of mortality rate, especially short-term mortality rate, that are the ones that are the most used by research, are useful only for disease for which there is many people dying within a few days from admission. And in our data, if we focus on non-elderly patients, that are we focus on people that are still working, there are only a handful of conditions for which we can actually estimate meaningfully mortality rate. And these conditions represent the majority of death, but only a very small fraction of all the overall admissions. And so the way we hope this measure is going to be used in the future by other researchers or by policymakers is to apply to other setting and try to understand what are the drivers, what are the factors that make an hospital better versus another, what is more about the human capital of the doctors or is about the funding. But as saying, this is something that is probably going to be left to future research.
And do you think this type of research is going to be more relevant given the demographics, especially in advanced economies with aging populations?
Yeah, I think you're right in the sense that the older it is a working population, the more it is exposed to health shocks. And actually, there are papers that show that getting closer to the retirement age, the variance of people's earnings increase a lot. And part of this is actually due by health shocks. So we believe that the economic role of healthcare quality is going to be more and more important over time.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Nicola Piri is an economist in the IMF's research department and co-author of The Economic Impact of Healthcare Quality, published in August 2019. You'll find the working paper at imf.org. And if you like this podcast, look for us on Spotify or Stitcher or your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter at IMF_podcast.